Have you been told you don't fit in? The way you live isn't right? You don't look the right way, you don't act the right way, you don't love the right people, you don't believe the right thing? Do you feel the pull of spirituality deep within you and long for a place where you can express it, but keep running into places that want to put you into a box, turn you into another member of their cookie-cutter community where everybody looks the same, everybody lives the same, everybody talks the same, everybody sits in neat little rows, and nobody asks any questions? Welcome. You found a home. Because this is the Christ and Light podcast. And at Christ and Light, we celebrate your diversity. We understand the truth that everybody and everything was created wholly good, absolutely complete and loved, and that each one of us is a bearer of God. Join us now as we discuss the implications of that in our lives, as we explore ways to live out the truth that all of us are Christ events, called to shine forth in the world. To the Christ and Light podcast. I'm your host, Bishop Craig Berglund, and I'm awfully glad you've decided to join me today. It is, as I record this, Monday, March 12th. Is that correct? Yes, it is. Monday, March 12th, and to be honest with you, I was sitting around the house thinking I needed to record a podcast. Actually, I had some errands to run earlier, but I came back home to Merton House and with the notion that it was really important that I do a podcast today. And as I was contemplating what I might discuss on today's podcast, I had a couple of ideas, but they weren't really energizing me a whole lot. And I decided I'd check my email. And I've got a backlog of email that's unbelievable. I don't know how this really happens. I do really try my best to keep up, and I'm failing at it miserably. Interestingly, in light of that, one of the things I've been doing is going through my emails, and instead of just deleting the things I don't look at, like I was on the email list for a few airlines, and I travel by plane so seldomly that it's ridiculous for me to get their special offers. When I need a fare, I don't go look through my old emails anyway, and by then the offers would have expired, so I'm unsubscribing from those. And some of these petition sites, I don't know if you're on any of those at all, but some of these petition sites just send a barrage of emails. You know, somebody gets a little upset that they have hangnails, and when they get a hangnail on their toe, it snags their socks and makes them run, and so they think that socks ought to be made of a material that will resist sagging from hanging or overgrown toenails, and they start a petition on change.org wanting us all to petition the good people at Burlington or wherever the hell they get their socks from to tell them, you know, I just don't care. To be quite honest, I couldn't give the tiniest little damn about your running socks and half of the crap that people start petitions over on change.org, or for that matter, half of the crap that comes across my desk from Move On and any of those organizations. It's great that we can have a voice, or at least create the illusion that we're having a voice, and some of us will believe it. However, it really gets to be a bit ridiculous. just suck it up and live. Anyway, I've decided that one of the ways to eliminate my inbox clutter, because I can only tolerate spending so much time a day going through that, which is probably how I get to backlog status, and get behind and ponder declaring email bankruptcy by just wiping out the whole shooting match. I'm looking at each of these things, where some of them I might have let go. And in the same time with that, as this, it wasn't just today that I've been looking at them. I've been looking at them over a couple of weeks. And my wife Erin and I had been supporters, partners of the Human Rights Campaign for some years, a pro-LGBT political action committee, for lack of a better word. They wouldn't identify as that, but that's what they are. And they do some really good work. I've participated in Clergy Call for Justice and some other things that HRC has sponsored. But they, too, will just snivel about every insignificant thing, along with the significant ones, I think for fear that their financial backers, like myself, will forget about them. Now, I'm not saying I was a heavy hitter by any stretch of the imagination. But despite the fact that I wasn't a heavy hitter, I still remembered who they were. And I started to see that they seemed to be responding out of proportion to the news of the day, if you will. The glass was becoming consistently half empty. No matter how many victories were won in marriage equality, for example, one setback just was leading to what I thought was catastrophizing of a proportion that really just wasn't warranted, if you're at all realistic. Everybody knows that when you're working for change, there are victories and there are setbacks. It's no different than any other venture in life. And if you just catastrophize about your setbacks to an unjustified degree, pretty soon people get tired of your whining. At least I do. And then there's this discomfort I've been having with the general tenor of political discourse in this country. As I've written in my blog in the last couple of weeks and talked about a little bit on the Blog Talk Radio show, it isn't enough for people, it would seem, no matter where they fall on the political spectrum, to have their point of view prevail. Prevailing is not enough. We must smash and defeat and utterly destroy those who don't agree with us and our point of view. We see that with Rush Limbaugh. It isn't enough to sanction Rush Limbaugh. It isn't enough to cost Rush Limbaugh money by removing his advertisers from his program. It isn't enough to send the message, there are those who won't be happy until his program is canceled, until he's unemployable, until he loses everything he has and is eating at a food pantry somewhere. And as a person of faith, as a person of spirituality, I object to that. It's not an appropriate response at all. There is no action that justifies the destruction of another human being, even if the human being in question would, in fact, given the opportunity, destroy their enemies. And so when the Human Rights Campaign a week or two ago sent me an email lambasting Mitt Romney for flip-flopping on certain positions while at the same time asking him to flip-flop yet again on the position of LGBT equality, I found it hypocritical, and it was the last straw for me. It wasn't the first straw. And I canceled our partnership and withdrew my financial contribution. I cannot consistently support this kind of hostile, destructive dialogue. So as I went through my email box, as I said before I digressed, Here I had something from Truth Wins Out, TWO, from John Becker, who is not the head of Truth Wins Out. I don't know what exactly his role is. Wayne Besson, and I may be pronouncing it incorrectly, is the head of Truth Wins Out. But Truth Wins Out is a pro-LGBT advocacy group. They are what I call professional gays. Now let me back up and explain that. I was referring to professional gays around one of my gay friends, and he said, "What am I, an amateur?" So I want to be clear that when I say professional gay, I'm not referring to how good you are at being gay. It's not, you know, a test of quality of performance, like professional athlete versus amateur athlete. This is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that for me, professional gays are members of mostly the LNG communities, but they could be from the LGBT communities as well. They tend to be L's or G's, and who make their living advocating for full inclusion and full equality of LGBT people in the life of society, church, everything. And there's nothing wrong with being a professional gay. However, I am coming to less and less agreement with so many of their tactics, because it seems that playing in the arena with the rest of the political lowlifes has, in my mind, negatively impacted the behavior of my professional gay friends. And perhaps some of the amateurs too, I don't know, but not in regard to, you know, whether you're good at it or not. That was one of the things, as an aside, maybe we should say practicing, you know. In the mid-90s, I remember being a part of a group, I was early 90s it must have been, I was contemplating, was I really an Anglican? Or wasn't I really supposed to be an ELCA Lutheran, because I had become so frustrated by some of the stupidity among one of the deacons in the Episcopal Church here in Milwaukee at that time, who was dumber than a box of rocks, a permanent deacon, had been a very successful corporate person and had been at this particular church for an extended period of time as permanent deacon, sort of transitioning them through the many pastors they went through. For reasons that I never really got in touch with why they went through so many pastors. That's not a slam, but they had a lot of them. And this deacon, was sort of the constant presence there, although I'm not sure that that served anybody very well. Nevertheless, that was his role, and he was just such an intolerant son of a bitch, to be honest with you, that it was sort of the last straw for me, and I had to say, do I really want to be part of this Episcopal Church? Little did I know at the time, of course, the answer was no, but it's not to the Lutherans you will go, nor is it now. Anyway, I went to this Lutheran church, and we were going through the new membership classes, a group of us, and for some reason I had encountered all these people who were in professions where they prefer to what they do in their profession as practicing. And every night when we met, sometimes there were different people there. I don't know why that was, but, you know, I've slept several times since then, so recalling why exactly that was. Perhaps it was just the first couple of weeks as new people filtered in and out, or perhaps there was more than one session going on through these classes and people would move between them. But anyway, whatever the reason, we would reintroduce ourselves and state who we were and where we lived and what we did. This woman kept saying, "I'm a practicing physical therapist." And I finally turned to the person I was with and said, "I wonder when she's going to get good enough at it that she won't have to practice any anymore and can just go ahead and do it." Before you send me another email that I have to decide whether to read or not, I understand what people mean when they say they're practicing physical therapists. I just find it to be kind of an archaic structure. But maybe we need to call people practicing gays. when they're good at what they do. And then we can reserve professional and amateur gaze for whether or not they get paid for it when they advocate on behalf of the LGBT community. Now, I don't know what I would be when I advocate on behalf of the LGBT community, and I'm getting just a little miffed that I don't have a nice little name and can't come up with one for myself. But I'll work on that over the next several weeks, and an announcement may be forthcoming. Anyway, truth wins out. An email comes into my email inbox about this Kony 2012 viral video. Now, I'll be honest with you. I haven't watched it. And I intentionally haven't watched it for the following reason. I don't like being told what to do. Perhaps that's a little childish of me, but I'll own it. I'm way too old for my mama to tell me what to do. And most of the people today, in fact, all of the people today who try to tell me what to do are not, in fact, my mama. Nor are they my wife. Nor are they my employer, since I'm self-employed. And so, there's nobody that should really be telling me what to do. And if you try, the odds are I'm not going to do whatever you want it is me to do, for me to do, just because I don't like being told what to do. You might invite me. You might suggest. But you best not say that I have to, because it's an absolute lockstep guarantee that I won't then. Just to prove you wrong. And I don't know why that is about me. I do know why it's much more likely to happen if you're a male who says to me, you have to, than a woman who says to me, you have to. And some of you women might even get away with saying to me, you have to. But that's a long story for another day. Anyway, I haven't seen this Kony video. If that's how you say it, I'm sorry if you don't. I'm voluntarily ignorant. So, here comes my message from the two people. Truth wins out. Dear Craig, usually when people write me, they address me by my appropriate title, Holy Father, Master of the Universe, Lord of all you purvey, spiritual leader as far as the horizons extend, Your grace, the most reverend doctor, Craig Berglund. But I'll forgive them that. I'm going to bet that you've probably seen the new viral video sensation called Kony 2012. Wrong. See, you started off on the wrong foot. Let's carry on and hope that you do better. The video was created by a San Diego-based charity called Invisible Children and has received nearly 74 million views, capturing the attention of celebrities like Oprah Winfrey, Stephen Colbert, and Rihanna. It calls for the apprehension and prosecution of former Ugandan warlord Joseph Kony and his Lord's Resistance Army. But if you're like me... Oh, dear. Wrong again, Tony or John or Wayne or Bob or Fred or whatever the hell your name... John. You know, I don't like it when people pretend to be more familiar with me than they really are. And it has nothing to do with any delusions I might have about my own status. It has to do with common courtesy and a certain amount of presumptuousness on the part of these jackholes who try and wring money out of me. Continuing on, if you're like me, you probably haven't heard about this. Drumroll. According to researcher Bruce Wilson and the charity's IRS 990 forms, Invisible Children receives major funding from far-right, anti-gay, fundamentalist donors. and organizations, chief among them the U.S.-based National Christian Foundation, or NCF. The NCF has also provided significant funds to fanatical groups deeply tied to the persecution of LGBT people in Uganda, including that nation's infamous, quote, Kill the Gays Bill. According to Wilson's report, the NCF, which counts among its biggest donors Rick Santorum's billionaire buddy Foster Freeze, by the way, who gives a shit? I mean, what does that have to do with anything? Guilt by association? Character assassination by association? I'm not sure. The NCF has emerged as the biggest funder of the anti-gay dominionist Christian right over the last 10 years. Groups receiving NCF grants include James Dobson's Focus on the Family, yada, 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 yada. NCF also funds The Call, led by Lou Engel, a notorious anti-LGBT extremist, yada, yada, yada. Anti-American gay groups like The Family, The Call, and Harvest Evangelism are, in all bold print now, all bold font, waging a global war on LGBT people. I assume that was the sort of reaction they were looking for. Exporting their hateful bile abroad, even as the tide turns against their dangerous views at home. Jesus. What are you writing for? The National Enquirer? Can we just have a reasonable discussion? No, we can't. Because here it comes. Hold on to your hat. While stopping a brutal warlord is an admirable and important goal. Apparently even Uncle Jed knows that's true. While stopping a brutal warlord is an admirable and important goal, it should not be done at the expense of LGBT Ugandans. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's just back up just a step. The group known as Invisible Children created the Kony 2012 movie. Certain groups, such as the NCF, gave money to Invisible Children to support the making of that movie, Kony 2012, that seeks to apprehend and prosecute Ugandan warlord Joseph Kony. The NCF also funds the religious right, who for their part attempt to prosecute and persecute LGBT Ugandans. The statement, the implication, that the attempt to stop a brutal warlord, while an admirable and important goal, should not be done at the expense of LGBT Ugandans, implies that LGBT Ugandans are being persecuted by the Invisible Children people, which is a lie. The statement also implies that somehow the Kony 2012 movie is benefiting the NCF, which gave money to see that it was made, but didn't receive money for the making of it. That makes that a lie. You see, two is lying. But it gets better. Invisible Children needs to account for the very disconcerting ties between their organization and the religious right. Stop. How are these ties? If I receive donations, people send me money. Doesn't happen often enough, but once in a blue moon, some of you fuckers send me some money. I'm sorry, that isn't tantamount to me sleeping with you. In fact, if you send me money to support a project that I'm engaged in, that I believe is a good and vital project, it's not my job to assess your moral positions on every issue that crosses your horizon. It's my job to, with a reasonable amount of effort, to ascertain that the funds you're sending me were not obtained illegally, and that you don't believe the fact that you're investing will buy you anything. In other words, there aren't strings attached. There is nothing in any of this to make me believe that there were strings attached to this money. But what the insinuation is indicative of is this black and white thinking within our political discourse today. So if you're wrong about issue A, you have to be wrong about everything. But it gets worse. More fundamentally, though, the letter continues, they need to decide, are they going to be idealists or ideologues? Is that not the pot calling the kettle black? Who's the ideologue? It's two. They continue, truth wins out, should change the name to Fuo. Or Bishuo. If Invisible Children is a group that simply seeks to do good, then it is incredibly irresponsible for them to be affiliated with the funders of anti-gay fanaticism. They are not affiliated with them.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need is a lobotomy and some tights.
Doubtless, someone will be offended by that clip. And I don't care. You see, the whole thing is a lie. The whole thing is a pile of bullshit shoveled out by the people at Truth Wins Out. Suppose, I get a hold of one of my conservative friends, because I do have them, because I'm not a hate peddler. And they send money to NCF. That'd be their right. Or Focus on the Family. Or Lou, whatever his name is. Lou Engel. And I ask him to send $10 to Truth Wins Out. I'll even give him the $10. Would that mean that Truth Wins Out was affiliated with Focus on the Family? Or Lou Engel? Are we really going to assassinate the character of organizations that do good work, work in fact that we agree with, because, God forbid, somebody who for the most part we don't agree with might just agree that the work that that organization does is a good thing? And let me be quite clear about this. And this is a problem I see in many corners of the professional gay world. You see, warlords are a bad thing. For the most part, warlords kill people pretty indiscriminately. Since being a member of the LGBT community worldwide does not require a specific political position, and since in different countries the choices of political position are different than in our own anyway, it's pretty safe bet that LGBT Ugandans are scattered throughout the population. And so, follow me now. If you're a member of Truth Wins Out, this might be too hard for you. I'll try and get a cartoon version of this up for you. A graphic novel. Warlords kill everybody. They don't give a shit who you sleep with. They just care whether in their mind you're on the right side or the wrong side. And so what you're really saying is, truth wins out. What you're really saying is that we ought to let warlords keep killing both gay and straight people. Because that's either not a bad thing or it's a less bad thing than the persecution of LGBT people, which means, professional gays, you are so morally retarded that you cannot see beyond your own self-interest. That's a very primitive stage of moral and spiritual development. In fact, it's a fundamentalist stage of moral and spiritual development. The only difference is you're being fundamentalist about sexual orientation. Other than what you're fundamentalist about, it's the same old shit. My way or the highway. There's only one way to see this. You're either for us or you're against us. God only cares about people like us. Which is exactly why, as I'm going through this process I described earlier in the program, I am removing my support from two. I don't want to hear it. And I will be seriously reassessing, as I have been already, every group that crosses my desk asking for my support. Because after all, you know, according to two, I wouldn't want to be supporting the wrong group because then they would be affiliated with me. The truth is I have no patience for this nonsense. This kind of nonsense accomplishes nothing except a great deal of destruction. When a human being is killed or persecuted or tortured or punished, I don't care who they sleep with, it's wrong. Apparently for two, it's less wrong when it's not an LGBT person. Or else, they're so profoundly stupid that they don't realize the implications of what they're saying, in which case, I don't want to be involved with them for that reason either. I've also been unsubscribing from people on Facebook as well, who randomly post stupid shit I don't agree with. Now, this is different, and by the way, there are both conservative and progressive folks who do that. This is different from unfriending them. I'm not saying I won't be your friend. I am saying I don't want to see your stupidity. Then my time is in fact valuable. And people who beat the same drum to death are falling away at the same rate as people who beat the wrong drum. And people who beat the drum in a way that sets up dualistic thinking, oppositions between factions, that can't tolerate disagreement without destruction of the other. Poof. They disappear. I just push the little button, and then I win. And you know what? I find that the quality of my life is impacted in only the most positive ways. I'm not any less informed than I was before. I'm just less irritated. I don't miss anything, at least not anything that I miss. And if you don't miss what you're missing, are you really missing? And I've come to the conclusion, too, from another organization, and I've already unsubscribed from them, so I don't remember who it was, wanted me to petition the Supreme Court. Hello. I'm sorry, kids. You see, the Supreme Court is not an elected office. The Supreme Court's job, whether they do this or not now, is up for debate, I'll grant you. But the Supreme Court's job is to interpret the laws vis-a-vis the Constitution, not to respond to the tidal wave of public opinion. Now, why would I want to be associated with the group that doesn't understand how our government works when it's in the business of trying to influence how our government works? It's kind of like, you know, when I've been smacking my head off the wall for a while and I stop, it feels pretty good. So when I click unsubscribe, it's the same kind of good feeling, really. Poof, they're gone. Our instant communication, our social networking, I'm not going to demonize social networking, it can be wonderful. It can connect people in ways that just aren't possible physically given limitations of time and distance. For no other reason. But it can also consume us and, in fact, eat away at us and cause us great damage. I find selectively trimming both my social media and my email contacts and my honest-to-God associations with groups who do stupid things or are self-serving or moral midgets. Well, I like midgets. I shouldn't call them that. I have a thing about midgets. Or our moral infants. Poof. And I would challenge each of you to consider where in your world you might poof. If you poof me, though, please try and make it a dry one. I don't want to get soiled. Until next time, I'm Bishop Craig Berglund. I wish you God's rich blessings. Namaste. We thank you for joining us for this Christ and Light program. We're glad you decided to join us. Christ and Light offers a variety of programming and teachings available throughout the week. Christ and Light podcast uploads weekly, usually on Monday mornings, and discusses a contemporary spiritual issue or teaching from a Christ and Light perspective. Christ and Light has a program on Blog Talk Radio on Wednesday mornings and Sunday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific. On Wednesdays, our program looks at spiritual issues with a sense of humor, even when those issues are extremely serious. On Sunday mornings, we offer a weekly Sunday morning message based on a Christ and Light interpretation of the Revised Common Lectionary Scripture readings for that day. All of our internet programming is available at no cost to you. To learn more, visit our ChristandLight.org website or access the podcast and the Blog Talk Radio program at no charge to you on iTunes. We also write an engaged spirituality blog, which is available on the ChristandLight.org website. We blog Monday through Friday, and also on each morning, we upload a spiritual teaching for the day 7 days a week. There is a Christ and Light gathering in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. To learn more about that gathering, visit the Christ in Life website. This program is copyright 2011 and 2012 by the Ecumenical Franciscans of the Renewal. All rights are reserved. For permission to reprint or use audio from this program, please write christinlight@gmail.com. We thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Bishop Craig Berglund. I wish you God's rich blessings. Namaste.